Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Notice this then. On the 6th of June, it will be Maureen Smithard's committal at Bretby Crematorium. That's Thursday at 10:30, and we're all welcome to go along there. And then Derek Norton's funeral will be held at Moore Street on Monday the 10th of June at 10:30 again. It will be followed by a committal at 11:30 at Bretby. So you can go to the one in this time, then to go to the other, or just go to either one as you wish. All of those notices are in the weekly bulletin that Pastor Chris puts out. All are welcome. For the Buxton coach trip, do you know we've only got 4 tickets left? Got 46 people coming. How about that? So if you want a place, you better see me very quickly. For the Buxton coach trip on the 16th of July, a day trip. So if you've been away and you've not heard, come and talk to me afterwards. £15, which is cheaper than anywhere else. Olga, just a quick update on her. She rang me yesterday. And I thought, oh, good, great. And when she said, put the video on, and there she is in hospital with an oxygen mask. She's been in there for 2 weeks. She's very naughty not to have contacted me earlier. But she's had pneumonia. It is improving, okay? She didn't look bad yesterday, and she hopes to be out Tuesday, Wednesday, but it's just put the kibosh on all the stuff that she got lined up to do. She had this first order for 24 or 25 uniforms for a mine. It would really have set her up. I don't know if she's still got that now, but just continue. Thank you. You supported her. You're part of her life. She's so grateful. But if you think about her, just hold her up in prayer at this time. And now, Sandra, can you come out? I think you want to just give us some update about... there you go, love.
Morning, everybody. Morning. Just to remind you, it's a charity afternoon tea next Saturday from 2 till 4. Everybody's welcome. If you're bringing cakes or making cakes, could you please slice them before you bring them to help us, all the workers that are helping. It'll make our life a lot easier. But you're all very welcome. The price is £3 on entry for each person. So I'm looking forward to everybody coming. Thank you.
Or more if you want to give it. Yeah?
Pardon? You can give whatever you want, as much as you want.
Was there a zero on
there? And it is for Mick Millen and the leprosy, Liz's thing as well. Lovely. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you. Not everybody knows the address. Can you give your address out?
No, I'm not. It is at my house, but if you want to come to me, I will give you my address.
That's wisdom.
It's all right. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks. No, I'm upped up there. That's all right. Okay. Right, on with the message then. I've called this message, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." It's goes from Isaiah 43 and verse 19. "Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it?" Now, having given that as my title, I may not refer to it ever again in the message, but you'll know why I've called that as we go on. I think the timing of me being asked to share the word today, I believe it's of God. Jerry and Liz are away on holiday, just 3 weeks after their bombshell announcement to us. And so I've been saying, Lord, this is the only time probably between now and when they go that there'll be opportunity for somebody here to share something without embarrassing them. Yeah? Or whatever. So I want to share, I hope, a word of encouragement and hope that will just help us to see how God is doing a new thing and where we fit into that in these coming days. I don't so much want to preach as to share my heart. Okay. I've got notes, but, it's something that's really on my heart that I want to share today. How many of you, put your hand up, how many of you were here 4 years ago or longer? Okay. It'd be easier to say, put your hands down, how many weren't? Okay, only a handful, just 2, in fact. Well, if we go back 4 years ago, historically, Rob Stiles was still the pastor of our church. He'd been there for probably 20 years. Jerry had been here for nearly 18 years. Well, 4 years ago. Yeah, am I about right? Okay. We were two congregations. Rob hadn't yet announced his retirement, and it was just, everything was honky-dory. Two congregations, totally different demographics, totally different styles of worship, and that was fine. And we didn't have a lot to do with each other, did we? Right? I think Rob would come over here and preach once, twice a year, and many of us never, ever went over to Moore Street. Some did, because there was an evening service until not too long ago. But actually, can I be bold and say this? I think we quite liked it that way.
Yes.
Okay? There you are, somebody who's bold and say, you know, we were our own little entity. We had Jerry and Liz. We felt secure. We felt fed. The worship was great.
And we were family.
And we still are. Let's say that. We still are. But in a sense, what was going on over there, we hadn't got a lot to do with it. Okay? We acknowledged it. But that was the way it was. And then Rob retired. Still didn't affect us really, because it didn't make much difference to us. We still had Jerry and Liz. So when Rob left and left us many months without a pastor, did we really notice it? No. Why? Because we had Jerry and Liz, and we were secure. We liked it that way. Left to our own devices, really. But then Pastor Chris and Lynette came to pastor the church, and it was soon clear that his vision was to see a much closer association between the two congregations. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, just stay with me. And so we've had a pastor who's visited us more frequently. He's wanted to be here with us. We've had preaching that's been using the same passages and following the same theme in both congregations. Yeah? And there have been those here who, right probably from the beginning or from when Rob left, have been fearful that the writing's on the wall for this place, you know. We're going to get closed down. It'll go back to one church. And we know that we've felt that or we've feared that. Some of us have voiced it. And so in spite of repeated assurances, there are still those who believe that that might be on the agenda. Well, over the last 2 years, we've gradually been getting used to the changes. We've known a measure of stability. I don't think we feel particularly integrated with the other church. Yeah? Some of us have never been there. Correct? That was not needed. You know, and I've actually written in my notes for your benefit, to be perfectly frank, some don't want it and may even resent any efforts being made to that end. This is just the reality of the situation. Am I speaking the truth? Yeah, okay, good. And then on top of that, what do we get? 3 weeks ago, Jerry and Liz give the announcement that they would soon be stepping down in September. It was devastating news. It was a bombshell. It felt like the rug had been pulled out from underneath us. Yeah? And various other expressions I'm sure you can think of. It brought sadness. It brought fear. It brought anxiety. It actually caused some suspicion and mistrust to resurface. But it's not surprising, after 3 years of change and turmoil that we have had since Pastor Rob left, that our emotions right now are all over the place. Yeah? It's to be expected. It's a lot to take in. It's been a roller coaster. So the question has to be, because God cares for us, little flock, what is he saying to us at this time? He's saying that, certainly. But can I just read a passage to you, which I've been directed to, as I mess up my... Oh, there we go. It's found in John chapter 16. So you might want to turn to it. You can just listen. John chapter 16. I'm going to put my glasses on for this. Verses 5 to 7 is what I'm going to read out. This is just before Jesus prays in the garden, and we have the crucifixion ahead and all that drama. And he's just got his disciples there with him. And he says these words, "Now I go away to him who sent me. And none of you asks where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, you probably know where I'm going with that, but I'm not sort of putting Jerry on a par with Jesus or anything like that. But I just feel that the Holy Spirit wants to say to us this morning, it is to our advantage. It is expedient that Jerry and Liz have stepped down at this time. We've known it was coming. It's not, you know, but it was always going to be tomorrow, wasn't it? Not now. Sorrow has filled our hearts just as it filled the disciples' hearts. But they didn't understand what God was doing. And Jesus reassured them by saying that, look, when I go, I'm going to send the helper. I'm sending the Comforter, the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit, and he is going to be with you. He's going to be in you. He's going to take everything that's of mine and he's going to disclose it to you. Yeah. In other words, you're going to actually be better off this way. I don't think there could be one disciple who would have felt that was the case. What could be better than walking close by Jesus those 3 years as they had and being involved and by, you know, just the recognition by association with the man. They'd sat at his feet. They'd laid on his bosom. They'd listened to his beautiful words. How could they possibly be better off without that? But God is saying to Princess Street, it is expedient and it's to your advantage that Jerry and Liz are stepping down. He knows what he's doing. Yeah? He wants us, as two of I think said at the beginning, he wants us to trust him. Yes. And know that he has good plans for us. Amen. Yeah? Amen. That verse that we know so well and has brought comfort so often to us, Jeremiah 29:11, you know it, say it with me, that I have good plans for you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Yes. That's us today, folks. Yes. God has a future and a hope, an assurance. Not a cross your fingers hope, but an assurance hope that he's got it all in hand. In Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to who? To those who are the called of God and who love him. Yeah, I put that the wrong way around in there. Do we love him? Yes. Are we called of God? Yes. Then are all things going to work together for good for us? Yes. Of course they are. Because he has a purpose to fulfill. And that purpose is bigger than you and I, and it's bigger than Jerry and Liz, it's bigger than Chris, it's bigger than all of this. Yes. Even though Jerry and Liz will be leaving this congregation, God isn't leaving us. No. He's going nowhere. No. He's a regular member, actually. I think he was here this morning with our praise and worship. Do you? Definitely. Jerry and Liz aren't here, but God was. Yes. And he is. Don't forget that. And when he did leave his disciples finally to go up into heaven, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth." God is with us always. You know, we really need to believe that God knows what he's doing. He already has in mind the man he has chosen to come and take Jerry's place. Right? We haven't found him yet. He's there. He's there. Maybe he's heard the call already. Maybe he hasn't, but he will, especially if we're praying for him. Yeah. Well, as long as it's not me. We know it's going to be somebody different, somebody with the same heart for God, though. That's all I'm praying for, People are saying, oh, I want him to be like this, I want him to be like that, I want him to do that, I don't want him to do that. Hey, I don't care. All I care about is that we have a man who is after God's own heart, just as Jerry is. Amen? And that he has the same care and love for the people, just as Jerry and Liz have. Yes? That's the important things. A willingness to serve. And just as with the disciples, when Jesus said, look, I'm going, but I'm sending another helper, the Holy Spirit. He has sent that other helper to us. All those of us, we know him. We've experienced that rebirth when the Holy Spirit came to live inside of us. Many of us have experienced that wonderful experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit when the power of God came upon us and we knew that the Holy Spirit was mightily within us. Is that correct? We believe these things. He is with us. He's beside each man, each woman in this place today. And he is here as our helper. He is here, first of all, to bring us comfort. Amen? Amen? That's not necessarily to make us comfortable. There is a difference. But he's here as our comforter. You know, Jesus went on to say to his disciples, no, let not your heart be troubled. Neither be afraid. You believe in God. Believe also me. And then he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And of course, he is speaking of heaven. But I tell you what, we don't know what's going to happen with this building, do we? But I do believe that God has prepared a place for us. Amen. I don't know where, all right? But he has prepared a place for us if we have to leave this place. And if we want to grow, sometime or other, sooner or later, we're going to have to do that. Yeah? And if it's a choice between staying here small or growing and moving, I want to move with God. In his time, so that more people may be, because he's got sheep in this place who are not yet of the fold. Yes. And we are being sent out to draw them in. Another way that the Holy Spirit is going to be with us is to lead us and to guide us. Yeah? He said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into all truth. And when you look at the book of Acts, you will see that throughout the book of Acts, it's chapter after chapter, the Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit led them here. The Holy Spirit said, don't go there. The Holy Spirit, don't go there either. The Holy Spirit said this, come over and help us. Every single chapter almost has something in it about the Holy Spirit leading. It's the same Holy Spirit who's with us today. Amen? Amen? And he is leading us and he is guiding us. More than that, I believe he's going to reveal his plan to us. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 says, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, God has prepared for those who love him. Well, that's great, but then it goes on to say in that passage, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. As we wait on him, we can expect that God will put an excitement in our hearts for the plans that he has for us that will become clearer. We see through a glass darkly now, or not at all maybe. But I believe that as we just trust the Holy Spirit, he is going to start to reveal the good things that he has in store for us, things that we've never even imagined. And it's going to put an excitement in our heart. Now I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, and I'm doing that for a particular reason. Because in recent days, I felt that I need to get to know the Holy Spirit better than I do. You know, there's many verses that speak about the influence of the Holy Spirit, his function, like to convict, to give assurance that we're God's children, to glorify Jesus, to enable us to live an overcoming life, to transform us, to empower us, to energize us, to make us bold, all of those things. And the guiding that I've spoken of. But I want to not know just what he does. In my heart, God's put a hunger to know the Holy Spirit. He's more than an influence. We know he's a person, but do we relate to him as a person? And to help me with this, the last month I've gone through the whole of the New Testament, not almost the whole of the New Testament, I'm not quite there. And I've taken a yellow highlighter. And I have highlighted every single verse I've come across that's had something to do with the Holy Spirit. It's been a fantastic adventure, really, to be honest. But I'm appreciating that the Holy Spirit is someone I can have fellowship with. You know, in the closing greeting of 2 Corinthians 13, it says, "Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ," we know it, "and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all." Well, you can only fellowship with a person, right? And the Holy Spirit wants us to fellowship with him. And as I've been just going through and underlining those verses, I've found out that the Holy Spirit is actually a very sensitive person. Did you know? He can be quenched. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. I believe we quench him through our unbelief. We can quench him. It's like pouring cold water on him, isn't it? On a fire. We can quench him by not allowing him to move, by tying his hands. We also read Acts 7:51 when Stephen was preaching to the crowds and they were just had their ears closed. They were stiff-necked. They didn't want to know. They had their minds made up. And Stephen said, "You resist the Holy Spirit." Did you know we can resist the Holy Spirit? A church that Dave and I once belonged to when we were first married was a nice little holy huddle. We loved to meet together and sing our praises ad nauseum, actually. You know, we would just sing and sing and sing. And we had visiting preachers came through. And we remember that there were three preachers came through in a row who said to him, said to us as a body, "If you don't evangelize, you will die." Second one came through, "If you don't evangelize, you're going to die." We heard it all before. Third one came through, "If you do not evangelize, this church will be dead in 12 months. We've heard it all before. We were dead in 12 months. What had we done? The church had resisted the Holy Spirit. It's just a warning that, you know, in these times, let us be careful not to resist him. Ananias and Sapphira, we read in the book of Acts chapter 5, that they tested the Holy Spirit. It's written twice there. They tested the Holy Spirit. How? Because they lied. They didn't believe that they weren't secure enough in God's provision for them, that they had to keep some back for themselves. They tried to find their own security when we read that the whole of the church of God had all things in common. They tested the Holy Spirit. One that I hadn't read before, in Hebrews chapter 10, it says that those who continue to willfully sin outrage the Holy Spirit. Outrage him. What kind of an emotion is that? I don't feel rage. I don't, you know, it's just, I can hardly remember a time when I have. But if we continue in sin, then that is what we're doing. We're outraging a person. Not an influence. We're outraging a person. And the one I think we probably all know, and I've left it till last, is from Ephesians 4:30, when it says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Quenching, resisting, testing, outraging, grieving. You can only do that with a person. How is he grieved? Lots and lots of ways. By our sin, definitely. The word grief in the Greek there, I understand, means to have your feelings hurt. Did you know the Holy Spirit can have his feelings hurt? And as I've been just waiting on God more to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I've such a long way to go. I think I'm just scratching the surface. But actually within me is a desire, a hunger. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't want to hurt his feelings. Why? Because I covet his fellowship. I covet his presence. He's the gift from the Father given when Jesus ascended and was glorified. I've been reading a book lately that was recommended to me to us at one point by Jerry, because he'd been reading it and he bought one or two sermons from it. A book by R.T. Kendall. About the Spirit and the Word. You may remember this, he mentioned that. In that book, he tells the story of a missionary couple that had been sent out by their denomination to Israel. And they'd not been in their little house for very long, and they noticed that there was a dove that came and made its home in the eaves. And they said, oh, this is like a real seal of God on our being here. And they really enjoyed having the dove around. But then they noticed something, that whenever a door was slammed, the dove flew away. Whenever there was a cross word between the two of them, the dove flew away. They noticed it and remarked to each other, have you noticed the dove, that when there's a lot of noise, it just flies away? And that's the nature of a dove. They're similar, very similar to a pigeon, but they're very different in character. The dove is gentle, he's timid, and he is easily scared away. And that couple came to realize that if they wanted the dove to stay around, then they had to adjust. They said, you know, the dove isn't going to adjust to us. We've got to adjust to him. So it's absolutely vital that we as a church community are led by the Holy Spirit in these days. You would agree with that?
Yes.
But we need to be sensitive in our speech, in our thoughts even, in our actions, in our behaviour, in our communion one with the other. Because that dove who so wants to be with us and to guide us and comfort us, he could fly away. He's not going to adjust to us. We must adjust to him. So in seeking to be led by the Spirit, we cannot afford to operate in the flesh. We can't afford to push our own agendas or be ruled by our natural senses. What will happen to us as a congregation and also with this building is ultimately the responsibility of our leaders, of our elders. These men, Richard, Jerry, Elargy, together with Chris, have been chosen because they are proven, because they are trustworthy, because they are wise, because they have experience. And two, three weeks ago when we had our annual general meeting, we affirmed their election by God, didn't we? Yeah? It was put to us that these are the men that we feel God wants in order to lead us. And we said amen to that, almost without exception. What they want now, more than anything, I believe, is to know the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
It's a very difficult and important stage in our church growth and history. They want to be led by the Holy Spirit. You know, Jerry might be leaving here, but he's still going to have an eye on us. He's an elder. He will be part of that decision making. I think of Richard, who's got the purse strings and is a very careful man. Yeah? He's very careful because he is responsible for the finances. And some of the ideas that we may have, or maybe what God wants, are going to be expensive. They need to know they're led of the Spirit. I don't know Elargy that well. But I was in we got together in a little group over at Moore Street to pray for each other one time, not too long ago. And Elargy just talked about how important it was in their lives and had been for many, many years to just wait on God.
Amen.
Not to rush into anything. He wasn't talking about the church particularly. We've got to wait. Now, I'm one of these go-getters, you know, that wants to, yeah, let's go for it. And sometimes I find people like that a bit irritating because they keep wanting to wait. But actually, it's a good thing. It's a good characteristic. And it balances very well. Probably listen to this, Chris. I see Chris as a visionary. I see him as a person who's got faith, you know, who wants to go for it, is willing to take risks. And that might make the heart go in your mouth. But the balance is there. That's what I'm saying. We have got great leadership, right? And together, they are going to take us where God wants us, I believe. But although they have authority, it's a delegated authority. It's been given first by the Lord. It's been endorsed by us as a church. But we're all part of the body. And although you might, like if you follow the we're not going turning to it, but in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the body being many parts and his hands and arms and all that. They might be the more important members, the hands and the arms, the eyes, the ears of the fellowship. But they cannot operate effectively without us. Okay? They cannot. That means that all of us here, we have the privilege and we have the responsibility of listening to and hearing what the Spirit would say to the church. It's not all down to them. We have been encouraged to pray about the situation. I trust we all are. We've been encouraged to share our thoughts with the leadership. Some of us have, some of us haven't. And I believe that if we will share with them, they will have the humility, they must have the humility to listen to what we say and to weigh it. Yes, they will make decisions. But if we don't share what we feel, they're not going to know. We have a responsibility to hold them up in prayer because so much is on their shoulders. But something else I'm realizing is that our attitude has the power to make their lives easy or hard. Say that again. Our attitude has the power, and I'm going to show you, share a scripture later, has the power to make their task easier or harder. If we grieve the Holy Spirit by negativity, by grumbling, by complaining, he will not be able to operate effectively. He will be grieved and he will be quenched and the dove will fly away. So let me just share with you briefly now five things that God wants us to do so that we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Firstly, we need to guard our hearts against sinful attitudes, against criticism, against bitterness, against anger and resentment, against unforgiveness. Let's not make any unholy alliances. What I mean by that is that you've got a gripe, somebody else has a gripe, you get together in a corner and you gripe together. Yeah. Dave and I were part of that once, thankfully many, many years ago, probably about 40, 45 years ago, even longer. In a church that was going in a direction we just did not like. And we got together with other people who thought the church was going in a direction that wasn't right. And we talked about it. And we shared our fears and our, you know, and our distrust, really. And then God convicted us and said, you stand behind your leadership. But we don't agree. Then pray. Then pray. And that's what we did. We prayed. We prayed. And you know what? Without saying a word, the plan that they had that we felt was wrong was dropped. Okay? There's great power in prayer. But that if we gripe, if we complain, that dove's going to fly away. We've got to be willing to change. I haven't got time to turn to the passage, but you know what the passage about the new wine in old wineskins? Yeah, that if you try and put new wine in old wineskins, then it just will spill out and be lost. Jesus, when he tells that, at the end he says that nobody immediately, when they've got the old wine, wants the new. I like that word immediately. It acknowledges that it takes time. It takes time if we're, you know, if we've just got our way of doing things. I unapologetically am an old wineskin. You can tell that by looking at me. All right, many of us here. But it doesn't mean to say we need to be discarded. Because I've been doing some research. What can you do with an old wineskin? I Googled it. And it says you can rub oil into it. If you rub oil in it, it will soften. It will become more malleable. It won't spill out. It won't crack. And I'm saying, Lord, I know I'm in danger of that because I've been on this road a long time. I'm an old wineskin. But what I want you to do is just pour that oil in. Rub it in me all over. Make me soft. Make me malleable. I think it's something we could all do. Because if we resist the Holy Spirit, guess what's going to happen? The dove will fly away. Third thing we need to do is surrender, to yield. I've written down three things here that I think could get in the way in this particular situation. One is our preconceived ideas. This was the problem that the Pharisees had. They were expecting a Messiah and he would come and he would behave in a certain way and he would throw the Romans out and... You know, they just searched the scriptures. They thought that in them they had eternal life. But when he who was the way, the truth, and the life stood in front of them, they didn't recognize him. Why? Because they had tunnel vision. They had blinkered vision. They had their, you know, their own irretractable thoughts, their preconceived ideas. We have to allow God to renew our mind. Not say this is the way we do church, this is the way we do services, but to be open to new ideas and new perspectives. That's healthy. We need to put aside our prejudices, and I don't mean racial prejudice. We don't have that here, thank goodness. But a prejudice is when you've got any opinion that hasn't really got any rational thought behind it. And if we say to the person who's got a prejudice, well, why exactly do you feel like that? They can't tell you. But we can be like that, and it can make us intransigent. So, you know, what? Ask yourself the question when you've got that sort of feeling that's, oh, a bit anti-something. Why are you feeling like that? And it could well be that it's just a prejudice, because that's what you've grown up with. That's the way you've done church. Put it to bed. Another thing is just preferences. We all have our preferences, don't we? Styles of worship, etc., etc. And they're just based on personal considerations. They present themselves to us by, well, what do I want? Or, how will this affect me? But what does the Word of God say? It says, be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, and in honour prefer one another. Put your preferences to one side. In Romans 12:10, in 1 Corinthians 10:24, let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbour. That's what we've got to be about. Put our preferences aside. It's not for us to push our own ideas. Fourth thing he wants us to do is to be part of the answer. Amen. I didn't say that. But that's really what I wanted to say. Don't be part of the problem. God, there's enough. They've got enough headaches, the leaders, without anything, you know, without calling them aggro. We can disagree respectably. We can approach them with our fears. You know, but we do it in a respectful way and willing to listen. So let's be part of the answer and pray. Continue to pray. Let's encourage one another. We want the helper to come alongside to help us. Paraclete means the one who comes alongside. It doesn't take over and do it all. It's down to us. So as being part of the answer, one thing that's going to happen imminently when Joe and Liz move aside is that we're going to need people to take on jobs in the church that they've never had to do before. And you might think, oh well, I couldn't do that. I'm not, you know, just talk it over with Jerry. Say, what do you think? Do you think I could do that? I think he'll encourage you. But don't sit back and just say, well, somebody else will do it, because that's not inviting the helper. That's sort of expecting somebody else to just take over. And, you know, we have the opportunity next Sunday. Chris will be here. He'll be sharing the word of God. And afterwards, there's a consultation time. And I hope he's like, I'm not bothering going to that. Why? Why would he not bother going? It's our opportunity to be part of the answer. You know, for us to share the thoughts that we have. They might fall to the ground. I've sent a two A4-sided sheet to Pastor Chris of my ideas. You know, I mean, probably none of them will happen, I don't know, but I've shared because I've prayed about it and I've got ideas, right? There might be just one little kernel in there that they'll pick up on, but it's better than us sharing nothing, isn't it? You hear what I'm saying? Let's be part of this. I tell you what, Jerry and Liz have got a legacy. Do you know what it is? What it is? Look around, look at each other. We are their legacy. What they want more than anything is for the work that they have started and built above the years, they want it to continue. Amen? Amen? That's what we want. Wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad if it was to somehow in any way fall apart through whatever, for whatever reason? But I am confident that with the helper alongside us, and as long as we don't scare the dove away, let's court his fellowship. Let's seek his help. And let us maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Because it says in Psalm 133, behold, how good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. Why? Because there God commands the blessing. Behold how good and pleasant it is for us to dwell together in unity. Why? Because God will command the blessing. Oh, I want that, don't you? We all do. Come on. We all want that blessing. Then we've got to do our part in it. So, my final verse here, in Acts 9:11, it talks about how the church in Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was built up. And it says, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. What a great verse to end on, yeah? Yes. So we will walk in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We will be led by him. The dove will be here bringing the sweet presence of Jesus and guiding us every step of the way. And we are going to see God do a new thing. Amen. It is springing forth now. It's coming to pass. And I am excited to be part of that. And, you know, whatever your fears and that might be now, God will bring us to that place where we can trust him and where we know that we're called, we're those who love God, we're called according to his purposes, and he has got good plans for us, for good, not for evil, to give us a future and great assurance. Amen. Amen. Can we just stand and pray together? If you can stand, that is, I don't, you know. I wonder if you just hold hands with somebody next to you. If you can, don't make it. Father, as we hold hands with our neighbours, with our brothers and sisters this morning, we are thankful to you for each other. Thank you, Lord, that we're not alone, that we're part of a body that loves and cares for one another. Thank you for the plans that you have for us, for good and not for evil. Thank you for the new thing that you're doing among us. Even though many of us still like the old, you're doing a new thing and we're going to trust you. Help us, Lord, to covet the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in these days so that you can comfort us and guide us, that you can lead us, that you can reveal your wonderful plan to us. Thank you that you pray through us and intercede with us with groanings that can't be uttered at times. Lord, we value your fellowship. And Lord, together, we covenant, we're in covenant one with the other, that we will not do anything to make our brother stumble. We won't do anything that would, by our attitudes, cause the leadership to not be able to hear your voice. That we will continue to be sweet and guard our hearts so that your purpose and your kingdom will come in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for listening. Have we got time?